You're listening to the Newsmakers podcast from MLB.com.
I'm with a guy, growing up, I consider this guy one of my heroes. When I first heard of him, he was an NBA writer for the New York Daily News. Then he went on to become a sports talk host. And now he's the play-by-play voice of the Seattle Mariners. I'm talking about Dave Sims. Dave, thank you so much for being with me.
Billy, good to be with you, man. How you doing?
All right, man. Hey, listen, I'm looking at this roster. The Mariners made so many moves this offseason. And you have to say they have to be the favorites in the AL West. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, I think we're going to be super competitive. This is going into my 11th year, and I don't think I've heard since I've been there anybody utter that sentence. The Mariners have to be favorites in the division. But it sounds pretty good. You know what? I'll wear it. I think what Jerry did in terms of bringing in Smiley to be mid to back end of that rotation. I think Gallardo could have a nice bounce back. The continued maturation of James Paxton, and I think like everybody in the baseball world, they look for not a bounce back, but a big bounce back from King Felix, Felix Hernandez, and figure Iwakuma, if he stays healthy, which he did last year, made all his starts. He's pretty solid, and the team hits. It hits for power. And this year, with the acquisitions Jerry made, they're going to be able to run down pretty much everything in the outfield.
No doubt. I mean, of all the moves Jerry DePoto made this offseason, which one do you like the most? I kind of like the Dyson trade. What do you like?
I tell you what, I like the Segura trade because you're going to get a guy who's, he's going to make the everyday play. He's going to make the spectacular play. Now, I don't necessarily expect him to maybe lead the league in hits like he did last year in the National League with Arizona, but hey, hit me 285 and hit 15, 20 home runs in the shortstop position, I will take that anytime. Now, as for Dyson, that is terrific because now he's going to get a chance to play every day. And, boy, you're talking about a speed component on the bases with he and Martin, and they think a couple of the other guys will be able to run. I just, there's a lot to like there. So you really can't go wrong with either one of those choices.
Now, I know the Mariners were competitive last year, but what would you like to see them improve on this year? What went wrong last year and you like to see this year go
well,
right?
They had a couple of streaks where you weren't moving a guy over, you weren't moving and you weren't scoring them, that kind of stuff. And there was a stretch there where, yes, there was a lot of home runs hit, but Nelly, Nelson Cruz, Robinson Cano, Kyle Seager, a whole bunch of other guys. But, sometimes just getting a base hit. I mean, I love Leonis Martin to death, but there was a lot of times he was going up there after he'd had a nice stretch, then he hurt a hamstring, then he comes back, and it seemed like every swing he was trying to hit a 10-run homer. And, Scott Servais kept telling him, hey, man, here's the numbers. When you put the ball on the ground, you're getting on base in a high percentage. See if we can stick to that, and the home runs will take care of themselves. So I think that would be one thing. Again, losing Felix for 6 weeks was a killer. And, C-Sheck was up and down until they solidified things. And they brought Edwin Diaz up and put him in the pen and put this young kid in a closing position. He'd never been there, and he did a terrific job.
So you don't think with Diaz that's a fluke? You think he's going to continue to become great?
Oh, he's not penciled in. He's inked in as the closer.
That's amazing. That was my next question, Dave. On paper, the pitching staff, bullpen and starters, it's okay. Yes, King Felix is there. There's no doubt he's one of the best. But how good can this pitching staff be?
Well, Smiley's a fly ball pitcher, so that makes him made to order for Safeco Field. And again, going back to talking about having Dyson in left, Martin in center, probably Haniger in right, and all them boys can run it down. So that's going to be interesting. And I think that Milt Stottlemyre Jr. Seems to have a little bit of magic that his old man had as a pitching coach. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of tweaks he adds to that. I thought Paxton, if he can just stay away from the blisters, the little itty bitty things that seem to knock him out, and right at the most inopportune time, he's got a chance to be one of the great power lefty starters in the game. I think that has a chance to be great. And those are the two big ones right there. And again, Gallardo, who for the last time I looked at those numbers, what did I think? Something like 10 years in the league, in the bigs.
Right.
Nine of them, double-figure win totals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he reminds me so much of El Presidente, Dennis Martinez. I would love to see him go anywhere from 12 to 16 wins. If that happens, and him pitching out of the four-hole or three-hole, man, that would be extraordinary.
And your offense, it looks like that's going to be good again. Nelson Cruz, you know, Robinson Cano. What more can you say about the offense?
Well, you know, Nelson Cruz is one of the most dedicated guys I've been around in any sport. And I don't expect much of any fall off at all from him. I really don't. And I think Cano, what he did, what, 39, 293, and I like 108, was just extraordinary. Here's a guy that's going to play 159 for you. And you have to, you know, you almost have to hold a gun to his head to get him out to sit those three games.
Yeah.
And Seager went through a couple of cold stretches, but then came on real well and, you know, had his 30 homers and just missed that. He settled on 99. He got stuck on 99 runs batted in because Jim Wolf couldn't get out of the way of a ball hit up the middle. The guy trying to score from second.
Mm-hmm.
Cost him a run. It cost him 100. I think that, you know, those guys are clearly the core. The key now, with those guys being a given, I mean, Mike Zunino, this is your breakout year, son, from talking about playing consistently. You know, play 135, 140 games. You got Chuch Ruiz backing him up. I think if Zunino can get back to, like, a couple years ago, he hit, 24, 25 home runs, but only hit, like, .199. Hit me .230 with 25 and 75, and you really got something there.
Right.
So, and then they're depending a lot on his Daniel Vogelback that they got from the Cubs in the Montgomery trade.
Mm-hmm.
He's at first base, and he'll share that as we stand right now with Danny Valencia, who's been murdered on left-hand pitching. So I like that combo. I think the boys will pick it well, no problem in the infield. And I think defensively, it could be one of the better teams we see in the American League.
Oh, no question about it. And my final question, Dave, Scott Servais, how has he been as the manager, and explain his philosophy?
Well, you know, his whole thing last year was togetherness, let's get to know each other. He kept things loose, and I thought that was a heck of an accomplishment for a guy who'd never managed anywhere at any level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say he didn't have his eyes and ears open as a player and a longtime player, and played for some good managers, Dusty Baker being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think his organizational skills and his communication skills played really well, and is like with any team and any dynamic, if you can get your leadership, your lead dogs on your ball club. So, you know, that talks about the guys, you know, we just mentioned, you know, Cano, Cruz, Seager, Felix. If they're buying in, everybody else is going to buy in. And I think he did a heck of a job. You got to give him a lot of credit, and I'm surprised he didn't get more, more votes for manager of the year. I think had we, you know, made the playoffs or had we won a division, he probably would have gotten even more votes.
You could be right there. Dave Sims, listen, thank you so much, and thank you for being with me.
Anytime, Bill.
On the phone right now is Carrie Muscat. She's a Cubs beat writer for MLB.com. She's been covering this team since 1987. Carrie, thank you so much for being with me.
Thanks, Bill.
And
what you can also point out is that Addison Russell, the Cubs shortstop, pointed out to me that I've been covering this team longer than he's been alive.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he said that, so I thought it was pretty funny, but I can handle it.
No, that's funny. All right. Yeah. Hey, Carrie, you went to the White House yesterday with the Cubs, and tell me, how fun was that to be around?
There have been so many highlights to the 2016 season with the Cubs, but to be honest, that had to be the ultimate, was to be in, you know, in the White House, in the East Room, in the presence of President Obama, and this was his last, like, official ceremony in the East Room, so
right,
there was some history to that. The speechwriter is a huge Cub fan, so the speech was incredible, and it was just overwhelming. It was magnificent just to be part of it and to see. And I have to admit, I mean, Theo Epstein, the Cubs president of baseball operations, I thought he did a great job. He gave Obama a pardon because he's a White Sox fan, and they offered him a lifetime pass to Wrigley Field, which mm-hmm. is non-transferable.
You're
so,
right.
You know, as well as a number 44 from the scoreboard. So, I mean, the whole thing, the whole day. I have goosebumps now just thinking about it. The whole day was just really magical.
You know, you've been covering this team a long time. Is it still hard to believe you're saying world champion Chicago Cubs?
I don't say that very much because it hasn't quite hit me. I've seen the trophy. I've not taken a picture with it, but I've seen the trophy. I think when I get emotional about this, and the one time I got emotional about it is when I was outside Wrigley after the series was over. It was the next day, and my husband and I were driving around, and we went because we wanted to see the fans' sort of memorial to the team, and they were leaving chalk messages on the brick walls along Sheffield and Waveland Avenues outside of Wrigley Field. That's when it got emotional because you've got people leaving messages to their departed relatives, to departed friends. You've got families there. It was just this spontaneous, organic, incredible sensation of just everyone celebrating. And that was the highlight.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, Carrie, there are baseball experts out there who believe the Cubs are better than they were last year. What do you think about that?
I'm not sure better. I think they're better in the sense that they have they're still really a young team. If you look at them, I mean, if you look at that infield with Rizzo and Baez, Russell and Bryant, mm-hmm. and those are just kids. And then you add in Wilson Contreras, the catcher. They're really kids. I mean, Rizzo's the oldest at 27.
Right.
And it's the rest of them are all just babies after that. So in terms of experience, yes, they dealt with all the expectations in 2016. Everything lined up so perfectly for them because, with you know, having the best record, they were able to set their pitching up the way they wanted to in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
They did not need, you know, in 2015, they had to play the wild card game.
Right.
So they had to use their number one starter, Arrieta, in that. And that, you know, their pitching wasn't quite as set as they wanted to for the rest. So in terms of being better, the experience factor is huge. I'm just a little concerned about the leadoff man, the leadoff spot. Dexter Fowler's gone. He's with the Cardinals now. And so it's, you know, Joe Maddon is talking about having Kyle Schwarber be the leadoff guy.
Hmm.
And that would be, that it could work. You know, Schwarber's a great guy to get on base. And then he might have his pitcher bat eighth again. So by doing that, you've got, in essence, the number nine hitter is another leadoff guy to set up Schwarber to give him more RBI opportunities.
Now, I know
it could work.
I know Schwarber had the knee problems and everything. I know he did well in the World Series. Is he okay running the bases and everything this year?
Yes, he can. Yeah, he's okay to play outfield. The question this spring is going to be whether or not he'll catch again.
Mm-hmm.
And if you to be perfectly honest, I would not be surprised to see him catching, not on a regular basis, but on a part-time basis, just because knowing Schwarber as I do, there's nothing that's going to stop him from getting back there. If he'd only torn one ligament, it would be a little more realistic. He tore two ligaments in his left knee in that freak accident. So it's he's got to come back from that. But he'll be in left field. Joe has already talked about how he plans on rotating guys a lot in terms of to get at bats. So you'll see Schwarber in left. You'll see Ben Zobrist in left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could see Chris Bryant out in left, you know, if they want to give him a blow. I mean, it'll be interesting. I don't think there's going to be like a set lineup. I think he's going to be doing some mixing and matching. So
right.
They want to play another 7-month season. They want to keep guys fresh.
What about the bullpen? Obviously, you know, you don't have Chapman there, but what about that bullpen? Can it really be great in 2017?
That, you know, I'm not sure. I know they've got some new names. Chapman is gone. He went to the Yankees. Right. They are counting on Wade Davis now as their closer. And Joe Maddon knows him from their days together in Tampa. That gives you some depth in terms of the bridge guys, you know, with Hector Rondon and Pedro Strop. C.J. Edwards has done really well. And then Koji Urahara, they added him this offseason, so it'll be interesting to see where he fits in the mix. Maddon does like to use his bullpen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be kind of interesting to see if they're deep enough. Pitching, as you know, pitching and defense are going to be keys to this team. And I'm not sure I feel that the starting rotation is deep enough, you know, in terms of the insurance guys, you know, okay,
gotcha.
We got your starting five, but the number 6, 7, 8, who are those starters, you know, that can kind of help. So that'll be interesting to see.
Gotcha. And final question, Carrie, 2017 is going to be another interesting year. And how much are you looking forward to the season going as a world champ?
You know, to me, the work, it doesn't change because they're world champs. It just, I know it's harder to get spring training tickets right now. My husband was trying to buy some for the Cactus League games, and he said they're all sold out. You know, so I think there's a lot of interest, a lot of hype in the team, which is great. You know, I'm happy for that. I think someone pointed out that the last time the Cubs won a World Series, they did so 2 years in a row. They won in 1907, and then they won in 1908. So naturally, because they won in 2016, it's only natural for them to be winning again in 2017. But they're going to have a bigger target on their backs, and they're going to have to keep guys healthy. Lester and John Lackey and Jake Arrieta are all a year older. They've all put in a lot of innings, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they prepare them for the regular season, you know, how they keep them fresh. They're going to be going with a rookie catcher in Wilson Contreras for most of the year. I mean, that's their guy. And, you know, how he makes the transition will be interesting to watch. So I really like this team. I'm looking forward to 2017, but I don't think it's just, you don't just punch the ticket and say, okay, you know, Cubs are in the World Series and the this year.
Right. Carrie Muscat, thank you so much, and please read her because she's one of the best in the business. Take care.
Oh, thanks, Bill.